The Brett Chappell Show. Sports talk with Pisgah head football coach Brett Chappell and Chad Upton, voice of the Bears. Live at Jukebox Junction Restaurant and Soda Shop, Highway 276 Bethel. Brought to you by Southeastern Sports Medicine, Carolina Pawn and Gun, Haywood Insurance Services, plus Linen and Uniform Service, and Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza. The Brett Chappell Show.
Live from the Jukebox Junction Restaurant here in Bethel, North Carolina, it's the Brett Chappell Show, along with head coach Brett Chappell. This is Chad Upton, of course, Frank Bird, our producer, in the studio. Good morning, coach. Just want to get started with everything. A lot going on, a lot to talk about. Tough loss last night for our football team. There's a lot of positive that we can talk about, and I think that's going to be the majority of the things that we can say about our football team. But I want to give you a chance to give me your first thoughts, I guess, on things from last night.
Well, you know, we always go back, especially when we get back to the office, and kind of reflect back on what kind of night we had, and certainly things we can look at and change and all of those things. And we just kept coming back to the same theme last night to start with, and that was the officiating. And I want to say this first. The officiating had, you know, we're not going to make any excuses. We got beat by a very good football team. Irwin is a team that's going to have a lot of success in their season and probably be able to make good playoff runs. But I thought we didn't get a very consistently called game. You know, we went back and looked at the penalties, and I broke it down last night, stayed up late looking at it. We had 12 penalties for 123 yards. Irwin had 11 penalties for 95 yards. The thing that we found that was a little bit odd, we had 10 penalties in the first half to Irwin's 3. And then all of a sudden in the second half, Irwin got 8 penalties, and we only had 2. So that's crazy. I mean, you got a crew that's looking at the penalties and then trying to make up for it in the second half. I mean, that's just you had 23 penalties between two really good football teams. I mean, that was one of the longest games I've ever been a part of. It just killed a lot of momentum. Like I said, the consistency is the biggest key for me. You know, one of the penalties that I really looked at hard and just could not get figured out, Hunter White scored his second touchdown of the night.
Right.
Went into the end zone, pointed a finger to the sky, one finger, you know, just raising his hand because he went in. There wasn't even a defender around him. Irwin's defender had fallen down. Turns and throws the ball to the referee, and we get flagged for it. So as I quietly and politely walked down to see him and ask him about it, said that it was unsportsmanlike, and I said, for what? I mean, who was he being unsportsmanlike to? And couldn't really get an answer. Uh-huh. You know, a few plays later, Irwin got back down and scored, and their kids were celebrating in the end zone, which they should, guys. I mean, it's not easy getting scores. You know, I think that needs to be part of the game, but the consistency part of it, I've got a problem with. You know, to throw a flag on something as petty as putting one finger in the air and then not penalizing the other team, I think is ridiculous. Yeah. I think that our association needs to do a better job.
Well, we're talking about those things. You know, the thing that I mentioned, I think the rule of thumb with those is if someone's being shown up, if it's the opposing team, a player, if it's a coach, if it's the official, that's certainly understandable, and that's what you see those fouls for in the higher level. But again, when you're off by yourself, and he didn't even have teammates around when he got flagged, so it makes it tough to say who was being taken advantage of, I guess, in that situation. Who was being left to feel bad, and there shouldn't have been anybody.
There wasn't anybody. You know, the referee couldn't even hardly get the, as Hunter threw the ball to him, he was in the, you know, midst of throwing the flag and almost dropped the ball. He was just, you know, that was just one instance. We're certainly not innocent of penalties
sure.
as well. You know, I went back and looked at it, and certainly I can find some that we were guilty of. Like I said, I've just got a problem with the consistency. I don't think these crews are getting together and talking before the game, or talking as an association and making sure they're all on the same page. Like I said, you got, you know, 8 penalties, 10, no, for us, 10 penalties in the first half, and then, you know, Irwin has 8 in the second half. It just seems like that's a lot of makeup calls to make it look even at the end of the night.
Yeah.
You know, Irwin played a very good football game. I thought our kids did too, and certainly I want to talk about that this morning and talk about all the positives. I think we did some good things and move on from this.
Well, you're talking about going back to just to kind of finish up with that too. Again, you made the very clear point talking about 12 penalties for 123 yards, most of which came in the first half. And I think that you can also say that those ended up having a big impact on being able to sustain the things that, that we were doing. I mean, you go and you look at when those penalties occurred. That's something that you guys will think about and talk about too. And the other point that I'd make, and I mentioned it just beforehand, I kind of looked at the time when we were finishing up there, and we got off the air at 10:40. And so that means that that was a 3-hour and 10-minute game without TV timeouts or anything else. So that also, when you're throwing, you know, all these flags and all these stoppages we're discussing and so forth, makes it tough to get a rhythm going too for either team.
Yeah, for anybody, you know. And that's you want the officials to be able to make sure that the game is played right,
right?
That it's consistent, like what we talked about. And let the kids play.
Right.
You know, you had two very good football teams last night, and certainly we're not innocent, like I said, of any of the penalties, or Irwin either, but to have that many penalties with that two good of football teams really took away from a great game last night.
The tough portion for you is to be able to take what's being given there live and having to make those decisions and deal with it right there. How do you take those things and try to help your players understand that there's still things that we can fight through and there's still goals to achieve, even though there's another set of obstacles that maybe we shouldn't have to face? How do you have those conversations with the kids during the game?
Oh, you know, being able to talk to the kids and get by that stuff. You know, our kids are very, very resilient. I think they always have been. I laughed a little bit last night with them. I said, guys, I said, it must be just the way it is against Pisgah. I said, I don't remember getting flagged this much mm-hmm. when I was at East Henderson. But I just, you know, you got to be able to find a light moment, too. You got to be able to get the guys to relax. And, you know, obviously we need to fix those problems that we've got. But, you know, there's nothing you can do about it. You can't get caught up on it. If you get caught up on it and you don't get to the next play, you know, you're not going to be successful. And I don't think our kids got caught up in it too much.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, it was frustrating not only for the coaches but the players and the fans. You know, I know they were very vocal last night about it as well. I think our association, the official association, needs to get some consistency with it.
Back with more in a moment. This is the Brett Chapel Show on WPTL.
Get your groceries at Ingles or Food Lion? Well, save that register tape, flip it over, and clip a Hometown Hardware coupon, good for $5 off a $25 or greater purchase. Another way to save at Hometown Hardware is their September flyer, good all month while supplies last. And then there's summer clearance on everything from outdoor furniture to ATVs and scooters. Hometown Hardware on Radio Hill in Canton Plaza. It's everything you need 7 days a week.
You need some cash, there ain't no doubt. Carolina Pawn and Gun. Uncle Sam ain't gonna bail you out. Carolina Pawn and Gun. Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it. Carolina Pawn and Gun. You gotta fight for your right to bear arms. You gotta fight for your right.
Plus, linen and uniform service makes business life easier. With floor mats to keep winter slush in check, linen service, and uniforms for a complete professional look, call 648-2384. A representative from Plus will explore your needs and provide a quote. From small beauty shops and local garages to offices and large institutions, Plus Linen and Uniform Service has served Western North Carolina and Upper South Carolina for nearly 90 years. And Plus proudly backs the Bears.
Back live this morning with the Brett Chapel. A lot of good things going on last night. I know we're going to talk a lot about those things. You guys came out and put in a wishbone set to get things started last night. You guys went out there and made some stops, I think, defensively and got off the field some. I remember one possession, particularly in the second quarter, where we were able to chew off, I think, 7 minutes of the clock by methodically moving it from one end of the field to the other. And to be sure, I mean, it wasn't like we were working on 35-yard fields last night, particularly in that first half. You guys were doing a good job of moving the football. You were converting some key third downs. I think you converted a couple key fourth down plays there, too. So talk about the game plan first, about what it is that you guys maybe were looking to try to exploit with that Irwin defense out there.
I'll tell you, you know, before we get started on that, the three groups that I'm really proud of last night. The first one were the coaches. I thought the coaches put together a really good game plan for us offensively and defensively. I thought the kids went out and executed it pretty much as good as you could in the first half. And our fans, guys, our fans stayed with us until 10:30 last night. Mm-hmm. You know, they were right there, watching the kids fight. The coaches were fighting, and you know, we were trying to continue to work towards winning the ball game, and that was good to see. You know, going back to the game plan, we knew we were going to have to try to keep the ball away from them. I think that was no big secret to them or anybody else. I think the secret was, how are we going to do it? I think that the coaches came up with a good game plan and looking at some wishbone stuff. And we were able, I mean, you get in the wishbone and I think we had 32 rushes. McKinley had 32 passes last night. So you're in the wishbone,
right,
and you still throw for 259 yards.
Yeah. His biggest night so far.
Yeah, biggest night so far with 3 touchdowns. So, you know, we did some really good things there on the offensive side. Defensively, you know, we knew there were going to be mismatches. They were going to find them. I thought we did a good job again in the first half and hung on and, you know, got the ball back. I thought probably the biggest turning point to me was the fumble right before the halftime.
Exactly.
You know, that we were down there about the 20.
Right.
Probably should have at least got 3 out of it, you know, fumbled, gave it to them, they drove and scored. I think that kind of turned the momentum, and then obviously the kickoff return right there at the start of the second half. Those were really the 2 big plays to me that kind of swung momentum in their direction, and, you know, we just never could get it back.
Going back to the offense last night again, particularly in the first half right there, I think you guys were executing very well. I think you guys looked at some things that you wanted to try to do. You know, that little read, I guess it's, I don't know how you described it, but it's kind of like that little read option where you're faking a give straight ahead, and then you make another give to get out to the outside. I know right there at the first half that worked really well. You had the whole defense just sucked in the middle of the field. You got out to the outside. McKinley made some good throws. I thought Hunter and Jesse made some terrific catches. Jesse might have made the best catch that I've ever seen with his body completely turned the wrong way to get you down there in a position to score that first touchdown. So, you know, the guys were really doing some real athletic things offensively, too, and executing the plans that you put out there for them.
Well, the kids trusted the coaches that it was the right game plan for us and, you know, and bought into it all week. Just thought that we did a good job. You know, we knew we weren't going to be able to just pound it the whole night. We knew we got to be able to take a shot here or there and stretch the field.
Right.
You know, Jesse's catch, Martinez's catch was phenomenal. You go back and watch it on film, I mean, the kid brings it down with one hand. You know, so a great catch by him. Hunter had a great night. You know, we were looking at the total yardage on offense. We had 354 total yards of offense. Irwin had 377. Guys, that's pretty.
Yeah, it is.
That's a pretty equal night right there.
Yeah.
When you 20 yards difference. But, you know, obviously they had to be a winner and a loser, and, you know, obviously we were on the losing side of it. But a lot of positives that we're taking out of it. I'm certainly not going to be down on this loss. You never want to be happy with a loss, but I thought for the circumstances, our kids played hard, our coaches coached them up, and our fans were behind us. That's all you can ask for.
You were in the first half there and through a good portion of really into the second half, you were able to stay with that game plan, too. For the most part, that game never really got beyond a 2-score game, really, both ways. And you talked about that momentum shift a little bit there in the first half with that those couple of fumbles right there. But in the second half, you guys thought that, you know, got down, I guess, a couple touchdowns, kind of had to open things up a little bit. But you guys didn't quit right there. I mean, you know, had a chance really at the end to make it a 1-score game, and, you know, they had battled back a little bit. So just the second half and getting back into the spread, that was just doing the best you could with the situation you had.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You know, trying to get back in the game. You know, we got down a couple scores. We had a couple of injuries there with Jesse Anderson and Dustin Messer, you know, which really threw some things off for us. So you're talking about, you know, one of your tailbacks and one of your good wide receivers was in. So we had to make some adjustments on the fly. And I thought for the most part our kids did a really good job. I think really the only one that bit us was the first punt, you know, where Cody Mashburn had to come in. Had a great punt on the first attempt. Unfortunately, we had one guy that was off the ball that was supposed to be on the ball. Again, that was another substitution. And brought it back. Had a low snap. Cody couldn't field it. Got it bumbled around. And, you know, they got the ball on us. But, you know, I thought we made some adjustments because of the injuries. And, you know, got in the spread. And that's good to see because we're going to face teams that we can't run the ball on.
Right.
And we're going to face teams that we can't pass the ball on. So you got to be able to have a good mixture. And I thought, you know, it gave our kids confidence that, listen, we can do this, you know, if we get put in this situation, and, you know, we'll continue to practice that, and we'll run into it again. I mean, you will as the season goes along.
Right after game 3 here about what would you say percentage-wise of the stuff that you would like to get in as the season progresses? What percentage-wise is your stuff in at this point in the year?
You know, we had held some stuff for the first two games leading up to this Irwin game. There was some stuff that we kind of held out, knowing that we would need some, you know, some big plays for us last night. And, you know, we used quite a few of those last night. Certainly you got some more adjustments that you can make. Uh-huh. But, you know, for the most part, we've got about everything in, you know, that we need to have in. Certainly we'll fine-tune some things.
Sure.
We'll deal with some more injuries along the way, and we'll have to make some adjustments. We'll have to look at doing something possibly different this week because of Dustin and Jesse's situation, and put the best people on the field that we can to be successful.
Going back on the other side of the ball defensively, talk about that game plan a little bit. You know, you're talking about a kid that that does a great job managing the football game, doesn't throw many incompletions. I also think he's got a receiving core that finds ways to get open, and they run good routes and understand what it is that they're trying to do besides being really good athletes. What was that game plan like against that offense of Irwin?
You know, I tell you what, it was just trying to get our best people on their best people. And they do a good job of mixing it up. They got a little bit of motion last night that gave us a little bit of problem early on some scores. You know, I think the whole night we may have left. We might have one or two busted coverages. You know, thankfully one of them didn't burn us. Balls overthrown on the deep ball. The other one, we just didn't get lined up to the motion part of it. But, you know, it's not easy to prepare for something
sure.
like that. Obviously with that much speed on the field. You know, we've 7-on-7 quite a bit this summer and got to see Asheville and Reynolds and T.C. Robertson and all of those good teams over there. And certainly Irwin's right up there, probably as good as all of them or better. And they do a good job. Like I said, their kids have bought into what they do. They're good at it. You know, and then they hang tough on the defensive side. But, you know, I thought we did what we needed to do to get a win. Obviously, the ball didn't bounce our way. And, you know, we regroup and go to the next week.
Back with more in a moment. This is the Brett Chappell Show on WPTF.
Healthcare reform is coming, and with it, uncertainty, because it will be different for everyone. But don't worry. Together, Blue Cross Blue Shield of North Carolina and Floyd and Susan Rogers can show you how the new rules and regulations of the Affordable Care Act, ACA, will affect you. With the exclusive online Blue Map tool, Floyd and Susan Rogers can provide answers you need to move forward in 2014. Call Haywood Insurance Services or stop in at 977 North Main in Waynesville.
Athletics were a big part of my life. About any sport, you name it, I played it. Too many years of wear and tear eventually caught up to me. I knew I had to see somebody to take care of the problem. Southeastern Sports Medicine was a no-brainer for me.
Southeastern Sports Medicine, providing full-service orthopedic care at 5 convenient locations and weekday walk-in injury clinics. Visit sesportsmed.com or click the banner to learn more.
Back live this morning with the Brett Chappell Show. Coach, I want to go into part of the broadcast sometimes you don't want to do when you're talking about injuries, but what's your feel on some of the injuries that we sustained last night? There are a few ding-ups in several places.
You know, a couple of injuries that we got, you know, the first one that took place was Jesse Anderson's. Got him x-rayed last night on ankle injury, you know, something that he had, you know, back in basketball season.
Right.
You know, severe sprain. You know, he got checked last night. The x-ray was negative. So, you know, that's good. We'll see how he feels as we go through the week. We know we've got, obviously, Hazel this week, another non-conference. We've got an open date coming up as well. So, you know, we want to make sure we're as healthy as we can be going into that conference push. So, you know, we'll take him day by day. The second one is Dustin Messer. Obviously, you know, we think his is a little bit more serious. You know, the knee that he had got banged up last year, I think at the scrimmage early on in the season, is the thing that affected him last night. I got a chance to go back and look at it on film. I mean, didn't get hit low
right.
or anything like that.
Right.
Not a cheap shot. You know, kind of got twisted up as he was turning and kind of got blocked from the side. So, you know, he's getting looked at this morning. I'm assuming we'll probably go ahead, you know, if the trainers or the doctors feel like it, we'll go ahead and get an MRI done on it early in the week and, you know, go from there. You know, unfortunately for him, you know, something that he dealt with last year, we certainly, you know, are hoping for good news. But, you know, the injuries are a part of it, unfortunately.
Yeah, they are.
You know, I know we're sitting here reading in the paper all week about Franklin and losing Markell, you know, had an MCL tear. So, you know, unfortunately, you're going to deal with those things. Hopefully, Dustin's is not as serious as we think it is, and you know, something that might have just scared him a little bit more than anything. And you know, certainly not questioning his toughness.
Sure.
You know, Dustin's a tough kid, and I know there was some pain there and caused him to come out. And like I said, hopefully, we're going to get some good news on that, and you know, get him back for conference play, and you know, make a strong push.
Most of the other things that you saw were just dings and cramps, those kinds of things, you think?
They were, you know, very physical ball game last night.
Yeah.
You know, on both sides. I talked to, you know, Austin Brown's dad as it come out, quarterback's dad, and Garrett's dad, and, you know, he was saying that, you know, how sore some of their kids were coming out too, and, you know, that's what we expected. You know, that's the kind of team that, that we are, and of course they did a good job too. You know, I think they had to get a little bit adjusted to what we were doing early,
yeah.
And, you know, we were able to have some success there, but, very physical game, you know, hard-hitting game, and I think both teams are going to get better because of last night's game, and you know, hopefully we're, like I say, continuing to move in the right direction.
We were talking about this during the break a little bit. Irwin may be as good as anybody in the mountains right now.
You know, I think that they've certainly talent-wise, absolutely. You know, they do a really good job of getting the ball out in open field to their, you know, their athletes. You know, we would be doing some of the same stuff if we had some of that personnel.
Yeah.
And they've got really good kids. I think it's an outstanding football team. I think they'll have, you know, some success as they go through their conference play, you know, have a chance to win the conference, can make a push for, you know, in the playoffs. How deep they can go, I don't know. You know, the only thing that I can see that they might need to work on is finding a kicker.
Yeah.
Other than that, you know, very good football team, and, you know, a team that we went toe-to-toe with. So, like I said, I'm proud of our kids and the way that they fought, and certainly there are going to be things that we can go back and work on and get better at, but, you know, not going to be down on that last night. Good football team we lost to, and the kids played hard, and, you know, we came out the other end, and we'll go against Hazel next week.
Talking about Hazel, getting ready for that one. Hazel, loser last night, I believe, to Rabun County, Georgia, which is Clayton, Georgia, just the other side of the line. I guess the toughest thing about those far western teams like Hazel and Robbinsville, and maybe even Swain to a degree, but you just don't have the level of information about them that you do the teams that are right here near us,
right,
from data wise. So I would imagine that the look of the team, Irwin last week and then now Hazel, there's going to be a lot of, maybe they're very good and they may very well be, but I would think that there's going to be some differences in personality, certainly.
I would think so. You know, we haven't had a chance to see the film yet. Just from the stats that I read in the papers and got a chance to see some of their skill guys back at a quarterback camp that, you know, we took some of our kids to up at Western. You know, they had their quarterbacks there and receivers as well. Seems to be a spread-type team that throws it around. Got some pretty good players that are also, you know, the good athletes that they got on the basketball team. So, you know, I'm expecting it to be very good football game. You know, even when I was at East, you know, we were always trying to schedule, you know, some of those Smoky Mountain Conference teams. And I tell you why. The biggest thing that we looked at, they brought a physical style of football, and something we felt like we needed at East. Here, you know, at Pisgah, we've got that physical side of it, but it's also good to see it as well. So excited about playing that game. You know, I haven't played Hazel in quite some time, probably since I was a player.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's been 20
years. I'm not sure Pisgah has ever played Hazel. Yeah, Dad says that they haven't. So it'd be interesting to see how that turns out next week. Of course, you're right. Give you a chance to get another non-conference look before you go into that bye week the following week. And then it's, I guess, time to turn the conference up. We'll take a time out and be back with more in just a moment. This is the Brett Chappell Show on WPTL.
Plus Linen and Uniform Service makes business life easier. With floor mats to keep winter slush in check, linen service, and uniforms for a complete professional look. Call 648-2384. A representative from Plus will explore your needs and provide a quote. From small beauty shops and local garages to offices and large institutions, Plus Linen and Uniform Service has served Western North Carolina and Upper South Carolina for nearly 90 years. And Plus proudly backs the Bears.
Notice how things go from one thing to another. Next up, leaf raking. And Hometown Hardware has a September doorbuster. 22-inch steel lawn rake for $7.99. Valspar paint and cabbage stain, $5 off a gallon with mail-in rebate. Pick up a super tough 9x12 drop cloth for $1.89. Find what you need at Hometown Hardware on Radio Hill in Canton Plaza. It's 10,000 square feet of hardware and housewares, open 7 days a week.
Carolina! Chip! Fire! sell it, trade it, pawn it, Carolina Pawn and Gun. They got guns and tools and diamond rings, guitars and electronic things. Now if you need some cash, there ain't no doubt, Uncle Sam ain't gonna bail you out. Come see the folks at Carolina Pawn and Gun. They gonna hook you up. Get on over there, son. Buy it, sell it, trade it, pawn it, Carolina Pawn and Gun.
Back live this morning with the Brett Chappell Show. Coach, we're looking ahead. We talked, Fibernitz and I talked last night a little bit about this. And one of the things we were saying last year is, and we were struggling in the non-conference portion of the season last year, but we, we're trying to tell listeners, look, just kind of hang on right here because we feel pretty good about the openness of our conference. And you go back and you look again, we look at preseason where, you try to, everybody tries to prognosticate everything that's going to happen. You knew East Henderson and you knew Franklin were going to be pretty good. Franklin's struggling a little bit right now, and they've had some key injuries, and East Henderson is struggling a little bit too right now. And, you don't know a lot about Smoky Mountain, at least I don't right now, and, Tuscola's kind of here and there. So it's pretty wide open right now, and it's something that you think about as you're going down the road. But you got to feel like that absolutely you're going to be in the mix as this thing boils down to that second half of the season when we get to it in a couple weeks.
We think so. You know, like I said, we just want to make sure we're as healthy as we can be and playing as good a ball as we can be as well. You know, obviously we start off with East here at home, and then, we go to Franklin. So we got some tough games early, as the conference schedule starts. I think our non-conference schedule has been really good about seeing different offenses, that we'll see. Even with the scrimmages, we had the O, and it was the downhill that was the pounding that you're going to see from Franklin. We've had the spread, we've had the Wildcat stuff that, Jeff gave us at Inca last week, and of course Kelvin Simpson got in it last night a little bit for Irwin. So we've seen a good variety of things, which helps us make adjustments as coaches. We can go back, maybe we should look at doing this instead of how we played it last night. So, certainly, I think our non-conference is going to continue to help us get prepared for the conference schedule once it starts. And, I think you're right. I think there's a lot of evenness going on right now. I think once we get started, and as a coach, you always say, guys, we're 0-0 now. Non-conference part of it's over, and you're 0-0. And, we got to see if we can come out the other end and be successful. So
we talk about this every year, too. And you look at Irwin last night. We said this a little bit, too, for folks. Essentially, you're still 2-0 because that game last night can be that throwout game because of the 11th pickup right there. So still a whole lot of really good news from that perspective too, because we're always thinking about playoff, at least I am thinking about playoff seedings and those kinds of things too, in terms of good record. So, essentially, you'd be able to take that game from last night. One of the rewards, I guess, that the state gives you is, you can call whichever game you want to, kind of an exhibition when it comes to seeding for the playoffs. So that's something that you would have to talk about, I guess, with the kids going down the road too, huh?
Absolutely. We talked about that actually on Thursday in practice, and the kids sat down, and Badre's actually the one that brought it up. We talked a little bit, and he said, Coach, we need some goals we need to look at. And I said, guys, I said, once we get to that conference, I said, we want to be conference champions. That's what it's all about. I didn't come over here from East and not have those expectations and not want to do those things. And, we feel like we've got a team that can compete for one. Excited about getting to that start of the schedule, that conference slate. And you mentioned that the playoffs, you want to be that number one seed coming out of your conference. Try to get as many home playoff games as you can. You always feel much better if you got your home crowd behind you and not having to travel. And certainly those are important things to us that we're going to strive to try to attain.
Last thing I'd ask you maybe this morning, tell me about where your team is in terms of cohesiveness right now after game three in the season.
It was something neat to see last night as we came in and we did our Lord's Prayer as soon as we shook the hands, and the cheerleaders, we get them involved with us too, and they came in there and did it. And of course, once we finished, the girls said, we're proud of you guys for playing the way you did, which is great, to have that part, with us and in the support that we have. And our kids, the reaction that we got from it, they were upset with the loss. They felt like that we did some things that obviously hurt ourselves, and certainly we can get better from. But it's almost like when you're getting ready to go into the basketball playoffs in February, you almost want to have a loss somewhere right there just to kind of wake you up a little bit. So once you get to those playoffs, it doesn't bite you. So hopefully that's kind of the attitude that we'll take. Hopefully this, you know, loss wakes us up a little bit and prepares us to get ready for the conference and make sure we're playing our best game then.
Black Bear Cafe show next Friday night, 6:30. Of course, Chuck Fubernitz and I'll have that for you, and then 7:30 we'll have kick. That's at the stadium against Hayesville next week, and of course next Saturday morning we'll be right back here for another edition of the Brett Chapel Show. For head coach Brett Chapel and Frank Bird back in our studio, this is Chad Upton. Flea Market's next. So long, everybody.
The Brett Chapel Show. Sports talk with Pisgah head football coach Brett Chapel and Chad Upton, voice of the Bears. Live at Jukebox Junction Restaurant and Soda Shop, Highway 276 Bethel. Brought to you by Southeastern Sports Medicine, Carolina Pawn and Gun, Haywood Insurance Services, plus Linen and Uniform Service, and Hometown Hardware in Canton Plaza. The Brett Chapel Show.